laws, but a very famous one at that. So the Mishnah is dealing with the Shliach Tzibor, and the Mishnah says, HaOmer, if somebody says, Al Ken Tzibor Yagiu Rachamecha, that your mercy extends even to the bird. We all know about the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen, sending away the mother bird. You would silence such a person. That's a little bit strange, so we'll come back to that in about 2 minutes' time. Ve'al tov yizacher shemecha, we understand, if somebody were to say that God's name should only be associated with good things, that would be a direct violation of the principle of kishem shemevarech adam al tov, kach mevarech al hara, that a person has to bless God and be matzdik es adin, whether God gives a person, so to speak, what they want, or God doesn't give us what we want. And it's not just that one also has to bless God, but if you look carefully at the language of the Rambam says the accompanying emotion should be exactly the same, that a person has to be mekabel, whatever God gives him, with a sense of consistency that this is what God wants. So somebody will say that God is only associated with the good in our lives, that's a serious problem. And also, modim, if a person would say, thank God, we thank God, that repetition itself could be suggestive of dualism, somebody who believes in what we call shtei reshuyos, two different authorities, and that would be problematic in its own right, because remember that during the ancient times of the Mishnah, and certainly in the Gemara, there were many people who believed that all good things in the world came from one source, bad things in the world came from another source. There's an ancient religion, actually, in the Middle East called Zoroastrianism. It's still around today, and they believe in this dualist model. They have something called the Agra Menua and the Spainta Menua. I owe that to a classmate of mine in ninth grade who did a presentation. It's an excellent presentation, still remember. The Agra Menua and the Spainta Menua. So that's the God of good and God of bad, so to speak. So the Mishnah and the Gemara are very sensitive to this. Mishatkin Oso. Ha'ovir lifnei hateva, somebody who's the Shliach Tzibor Vita. We don't mean that he makes a mistake, he mispronounces a word, but the person is unable to continue. Yavor acher tachtav. Somebody has to go in his place. Velo yehe sarvan beosa shah. So let's say I was the Shaliach Tzibor and I was unable to continue for whatever reason. And Effie goes, Reznik, quickly get up there. So normally the halacha is that Jonathan is supposed to say, not me. You know, that's an act of anivus. The Gemara talks about you have to refuse the first time. The second time, you sort of make a motion. The third time, you're ready to get up there. But if the tzibor is waiting, then you don't. Then it's considered to be an embarrassment to the davening and to the tzibor. So if the shliach tzibor can't continue, and Effie sees that and says, Reznik, you got to get in there. So lo yehi sarvan ba'osa shah. The normal halacha of refusing once or two times no longer applies. Minayin humascha, where do you start from? Where would the replacement shliach tzibor start them? Mitzchilas habracha shetaba, from the beginning of the bracha that the mistake was made in. But that only applies if it's one of the intermediate, one of the 13 intermediate brachos of the Shemoneh Esrei. But if it's in the first three or it's in the last three, then you have to go back to the beginning of that unit. Remember, when it comes to the first three and the last three, you always relate to them as a holistic unit. So if the mistake were at the, let's say, in the second bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei, so the person who replaced them would have to go back to the beginning. First three is a unit, last three is a unit, the 13 in the middle, that's where you have more flexibility. Okay, now what about this very strange clause in the Mishnah, Al Ken Sipur Yagiu Rachamecha? What is so bad with saying that God had compassion on the mother bird? So here the Gemara gives two different suggestions. One of them is to say, it's Matal Kina B'Masav Reishis. Martin will rightfully point out that there is a mitzvah in the Torah of sending away the mother bird, but there isn't a mitzvah in the Torah of sending away a mother when the calf is being taken. So you're creating a kind of a rivalry amongst the creatures. So that's one perspective. The second perspective is very, very provocative and quite shocking, actually. The Gemara says, Osa midosev shel kadosh baruch hu rachamim ve'enan ela gezeros. Because when you portray things this way, that God had compassion on the mother bird, what you're saying is that, yeah, God does these things out of compassion. And not because God's rules are simply gzeros that we don't necessarily understand. The Rambam takes this perspective and develops it in the Perush HaMishnayos. He says, look, you know, if God were really that compassionate, maybe he should have made us all vegetarians or vegans. Okay? You know, so what do you mean that you know for certain that it's a reflection of God's compassion? How do you know why God did it? Maybe God willed it as such. And so we shouldn't pretend to understand exactly why God told us to do something. If it's the mitzvah of tzitzis, so Hashem told us why to do it. L'man tizkeru v'asisim eskol mitzvosai. If it's the mitzvah of tefillin, God told us why to do it. L'man tiyataras Hashem b'ficha. If it's the mitzvah of sukkah, God told us why He gave us that mitzvah. L'man yedu derasecham yivasuko soshavti es b'nei Yisrael. Etc. If it's the mitzvah of hanik taniklo, of giving the eved ivri a certain amount of wealth when you send them out, so God told us why He wanted to do it. Al kein anochi mitzav chalasos as the davar hazah, so that you should remember, v'zacharta ki eved hayisa b'mitzrayim. But unless the Torah says so, how do I know what God is thinking? Ki lo machsho osai machsho sichan. So that is a very provocative idea, because that gets into a major machlokes amongst the Rishonim about whether we do something called darshan taima dekra. Do we assume that we can know the rationale for various mitzvot? So this Mishnah sounds clearly that, you know, if you follow that view in the Gemara, that we have no right to say so. So the Rambam wrote in the Mor Nevuchim that we rule against this Mishnah, and that in fact we do believe that there are reasons for all of God's commandments, both those that are obvious, things like don't steal and don't do adultery, things that, as we like to say about them, ilu lo namru, had they not been said, ro'oi haya le'omer, you would have said them anyway, as well as the chukim, things that we don't intuitively understand. It is our belief that every single mitzvah in the Torah has a reason and has a purpose. Some of them we will be able to understand. Some of them, even Shlomo HaMelech wasn't able to fully understand. As the Pasuk says about Parah Aduma, Amarti Ach Kama, Shlomo said, I wished for wisdom, V'hi Rechoka Mimeni, and it was very hard for me to achieve this wisdom. So the Ramban, in his introduction to the Chumash, writes, Moshe Rabbeinu understood all of the mitzvos, not just the details, but he understood why. Shlomo HaMelech understood 612, so we can all find our place somewhere beneath that number. Siggi was probably 611, if I remember the Ramban correctly. Siggi was coming in at 611. Isaac was right there at 610. Okay, so we all can do our best. But then the idea is for all of us to try as best as we possibly can to understand the mitzvos, and I'll leave it at this. Every doctor knows that the trick is not telling the patient what to do. That's step number one. But you have to get compliance, okay? What good is it if you tell the patient what to do and the patient's not going to be willing to listen? I don't care what field of medicine you're, every doctor knows that. So one of the key strategies that you're going to need if you want the patient to give you compliance with what it is that you're saying, because ultimately you could say from today until tomorrow what to do. If he's not going to do it, she's not going to do it, it's not going to help. So how do you generate compliance? You have to explain why this is so important. And if the patient doesn't really think it's that important, so they're for sure not going to do it. So you have to explain, these are the consequences if you don't watch, if you don't exercise, if you don't watch what you eat, if you don't take your medication on time. These are the consequences. This is why it's not just a game. I'm not just saying this because they're paying me to do it, but, you know, I don't really believe it. If a person understands why it is they're being told to do something, the level of compliance goes up dramatically, okay? That it's not that sometimes people aren't able to do it. They can't be so disciplined. There are other issues that go into it as well. But if a person doesn't understand why it is they should be doing something, it's a very rare person that's going to comply over time. Maybe the first week, maybe the second week. But if they really understand what they're doing, at some point they're going to say, why should I be doing this? It doesn't mean anything to me. So the same thing goes for mitzvah. So once we accept the view of the Rambam and the Ramban and the Sefer HaChinuch and the vast majority of Rishonim, that yes, darshin and taima dekra, we want to understand what we're doing, we understand very well, so that even if we don't get 100% of the way there, even if we can only understand a mitzvah 90%, 92%, right, it dramatically increases compliance in addition to being a much more meaningful way of observing the mitzvos. HaTalmud, mevi, lidei, ma'aseh, study of the mitzvah certainly increases one's compliance with them.